just quickly turn our attention to what God had to tell us. We have back on the program, Kirk, and I have to tell you, Kirk, that you have quite the fan club. My email in basket is filling up with letters that are saying, we want more Kirk. He is really good. I tell you the truth. To quote Paul, I cannot lie.
Well, don't quote Paul.
Okay. That's just a little humor.
I thought at my first comment I was going to say, you know, if I won't have my welcome, I'll hang up. It's not
have received really a whole bunch of letters from listeners that say that not only are they joining this review of John 3, learning that there really is a lot of information here that is really insightful, that is wholly and completely opposed to the Christian New Testament, opposed to Pauline doctrine, opposed to the religion of Christianity, opposed to almost all of the tenets of Christianity are just being annihilated here while we're really getting to know Yahweh better through this review. So it has it's proven to be outstanding.
Well, it proves that the founder of Christianity is not Yahusha.
For darn sure, because everything he said so far has been wholly opposed to the religion. And this is their signature. I mean, John 3:16 is their signature quote in that. And this discussion preceding John 3:16 is absolutely devastating to the religion. You know, it's kind of like Paul. Twice he quotes Chabaouk. I think it's Chabaouk 2, either 4, 5, or 6. And he takes it out of context, and, of course, he twists it to create the opposite of what it means. So Paul twice, in Romans once and in Galatians once, quotes the very prophecy that says that he and his religion are the plague of death. You know, it's the same thing here. Christians, you know, hold up their John 3:16 sign in the midst of a discussion that absolutely destroys the total and complete credibility of their religion.
I grabbed a little something off the shelf, Haley's Bible Handbook, Christian Handbook, and I'm preparing to Habakkuk, and here's the bottom line on Habakkuk. It concludes with, the lesson of this book is, man shall live by faith. That's what they got out of Habakkuk.
That's because that's the one line that Paul quoted, but he misquoted it because there is no reference to faith. Like, I'm not even sure there is a Hebrew word for faith. if there is one, I have never encountered it. There may be one that's used someplace. But you know, I've devoted the last 10 years of my life to translating the Hebrew words in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms into English and helping folks understand them. And I have not yet found any word that conveys faith. And there is no reference to living by faith in Chabaouk. In fact, all of Chabaouk is, if you are religious, particularly a Pauline Christian, you are not going to be satisfied. You're going to die. That Pauline Christianity is a plague of death. That's what Chabaouk says.
There's so many words. What I do now is when I'm looking these things up, and you know, I'm a real novice at this, but when I'm looking these things up, I'm finding more and more that you look up a word and it's what it was translated from, but it doesn't have any. It's not a Hebrew word that means that. But they'll take that word and translate it into whatever they want in English. And
yeah,
I mean, it's worse than you think.
Yeah,
maybe not you, but worse than I thought.
Yeah, you know, it's in Hebrew the word for trust and rely, and there are several of them. But aman is one of them. Sometimes pronounced amain. If you want to know the meaning of a word and that's used in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, the first thing that you need to do is you look at the verbal root of the word. And the verbal root is almost always spelled exactly the same way. So the verb and the noun are only differentiated by the fact that the verb will typically have stems, conjugations, and moods affixed to it, so that it's distinguished as a verb. The stems establish the relationship of the verb's action between the subject and the object. And the conjugations tell us if the action is ongoing or was completed either in the past or will be completed a finite period of time in the future. And the moods express volition, express whose desire, whose choice is being conveyed.
Mm-hmm.
But almost every noun of any importance has a verbal root. And it's the actionable part of the word that defines its meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And the concept of trust and reliance is based on the action of trusting and relying.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Yao is saying that, you know, it's that you are vindicated based upon trust and reliance, he always states it in the context of being observant, listening to what he has to say, closely examining and carefully considering, and he will almost always itemize the four most important aspects of his Torah. Now, he will take his testimony, he will use Torah, which is his teaching, his directions. He will use Emuth, which is his enduring witness, his restoring testimony, and he will use Dabar, which is his word. He will use Imra, which is his promises. And so he will define his statements using those four broad strokes: enduring witness, restoring testimony as one, Torah teaching and guidance as a second, Imra, which is promises, and Dabar, which is word statements. And then he will, in the specifics, he has four specifics that he constantly reinforces: that which is inscribed, that cuts us into the relationship, the choke, the mitzvah, which are the terms and conditions of the covenant, the mispat, which are the means to resolve disputes and to exercise good judgment regarding justice, which are the seven moed mikre, and the pakuta, which are recommendations which enable us to respond properly to what Yah was offering. And it's in that context that he will say that based on that you can trust and rely.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always an actionable concept based upon knowledge and understanding. In fact, in Hosha, when Yahweh is divorcing himself of Yisrael for a finite period of time, and he talks about their infidelity, and the fact they broke the covenant, what does he say about the consequence of not knowing?
Well, you're doomed by your lack of knowledge, right?
Right. My children are destroyed
by the lack
for their lack of knowledge. And so the very concept of trust and reliance is predicated on knowing and understanding. You cannot rely on something you do not understand. You cannot trust someone you do not know. And so the whole concept is be observant, closely examine and carefully consider Yahweh's instructions, his teachings, so that you come to know him and understand what he's offering, put you in a position to trust and rely. And without knowledge, there is no trust and reliance. With faith, there is no purpose for knowledge.
No.
So it's impossible to apply the concept of faith and belief to Yahweh's instructions throughout his Torah, prophets, and Psalms. They are wholly incompatible. And what was the reference three times already in this John 3:16? We have a reference to teacher, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
What's the purpose of a teacher
if
faith is sufficient?
Right. 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 This is interesting. I'm looking at Ruach on one of the lexicons on the Ruach, And it says, it defines it as one of the definitions is the Hebrew nomads knew wind patterns as they followed a prescribed path per season, the breath of wind of the man. So, I mean, it seemed like we're following a path. Everything is action. It's understood in terms of actions of that, what that thing does.
Yeah.
So,
The primary word in Hebrew for path is derech. It means a path or way. Mm-hmm. The way of Yahweh would be a derech. And halak, which is the Hebrew word for walk, also means the path that you follow in one's life. Your course of conduct and direction in life is associated with halak. So there are lots of Hebrew words where path and direction in life, direction of movement, like, for example, when Yahweh tells us to disassociate from Babylon, from our country, from politics, from religion, he uses halak, which is path away from, to walk away from. And so, yeah, there are lots of things like that. Now, it should be noted that while ruach is both wind and spirit in Hebrew, it is spirit. You know, when you have the choice between the two, and they are related concepts, but in terms of the outside influence of the wind upon you versus the soul being also being the Hebrew word for breath, that ruach means spirit some 99% of the times that it's used in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. It means it should be translated wind about 1% of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't indicate that on the thing as much, but it obviously is.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at how the context of how it's used in each one of those, but you know, it's a lot to look up. It's 380 times, so it's a lot of ruach there. So
yeah, a lot of ruach there. Yeah, and it's and almost all of the ruach is the set apart spirit, and she is the ruach kodesh, which is spirit set apart. It's most languages the modifier for the noun follows the noun. The modifier for the verb follows the verb as opposed to preceded. You know, we say red wagon, they say wagon red. So it's the ruach kodesh, ruach being the Hebrew word for spirit, kodesh being set apart. There is no holy spirit. There is no holy ghost. Those are man-made corruptions of religious terms. But when we return, we're going to jump right back in to John 3, because there is so much more to learn. We'll be back with Kirk and Chatterinus. John 3, Yosha, which is the actual name of the individual that Christians have in the 17th century misnamed Jesus Christ. Yosha answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter." It's interesting, by the way. Truth. And, you know, we were talking about the meaning of trust and reliance versus faith. Mm-hmm. The Hebrew word for truth and the Hebrew word for trust and rely, same word.
Right.
You can trust and rely because it's the truth. I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and spirit, which means you need to come into the presence of our spiritual mother, the set-apart spirit, the Ruach Kodesh, if you want to be a spiritual child and be part of the covenant. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Human institutions give birth to human institutions, belonging to a human institutions, flesh to flesh, dust to dust. But spirit gives birth to spirit. A spiritual being and a physical being are not the same. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born from above. In other words, he's talking to somebody who claimed to be an expert on the Torah. And if you're an expert on the Torah, you shouldn't be surprised by this. The Spirit blows like the wind and breathes life wherever she desires. It is the Spirit that perfects us. It is the set-apart Spirit that renews us and makes us eternal. And so all of the aspects associated with salvation are the work of the set-apart Spirit, not of the Son. The Son, therefore, is not the Savior. Sorry, Christians.
Expensive.
Yeah. According to Yosha, the Spirit blows like the wind and breathes life wherever she desires. You are endowed with the faculty to hear, and the ability to understand language, and yet you do not know the household of God. That is the whole problem of Christians. They do not know the household of God. What is the household of God, my friend?
Oh, the covenant family.
Yes, the covenant, period. Covenant is bereth in Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on an interesting Hebrew word. It's based on Beth.
Beth, yeah.
Yeah. What does Beth mean?
It's your tent, your home, your house.
Yeah, family.
Family.
Right? Home,
well,
household, family.
Yes.
Family. Right,
household,
yeah.
Yes.
Home, well, same word. Home, household, and family is Beth in Hebrew. And Bereth adds this covenant family. So it's the covenant family.
Mm-hmm.
You love the visuals. Do you know what the B is in Hebrew?
Yes, the Bet is the top view of a tent plan.
Yeah,
tent,
floor plan.
Go into,
yeah, floor plan of a home. Mm-hmm. How many doorways are there into the this home?
I'm afraid there's only one.
There is only one. That doorway would be Passover, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there's one doorway. It's the Beth is a is written as a, in fact, the letter is named for the Hebrew word family, and it depicts the floor plan of a home with one way in.
Mm-hmm.
So that pretty much tells you what the covenant is, right? Because the covenant is Bereth, and family is Beth. Hebrew, the second letter is the Yod. So whose family is this?
It's Yah's family.
Right, because Yah is depicted, the first letter in Yahweh's name is depicted as the hand of God reaching down and out to us with an open hand to lift us up. It's Yahweh's family.
Yeah.
That's the covenant, is God's family. The only difference between Beth and Bereth is the inclusion of the Rosh.
Mm-hmm.
The R in Hebrew. Do you know what the R was drawn to depict?
It's a man. It's a head.
A head. Which shows eyes, ears, mind, and mouth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the head is where we have the eyes so we can observe what Yahweh has written for us.
Right.
Ears so we can listen to what he had to say. A brain so that we can process all of this and come to understand it. And a mouth so that we can respond.
Respond, yes.
Right. And Resh, the Hebrew letter itself, is named after the Hebrew word for head. It is also the Hebrew word for first and foremost.
Yes.
So if we use our eyes and our ears to come to know, and our brains to understand, and our mouths to respond, then we can be part of the first and foremost family, Yahweh's family. That's
true
what
deal.
Has been conveyed, hasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Powerful. We'll return with the household of God, where Yosha just explained that even a Jewish religious leader didn't know where to look for the household of God. Kirk, it's my conclusion. And I don't know if there's a possibility of coming up with a different interpretation of these words.
Mm-hmm.
But that in this statement, we have the answer to John 3:16. I would say that there isn't a Christian on the planet who, also endowed with the faculty to understand language, knows the household of God, or what place the household of God appears and becomes known. And that is really the answer. When Yosha concludes that Yahweh provided Yosha to set apart the diminished manifestation, and whoever would trust and rely upon him would have eternal life, what he's talking about here is based upon this explanation, that there is a family of God,
mm-hmm.
that you need to know about that family of God, and that you need to know where the family of God is presented, where information regarding it is presented in language using words. And if you do not know about the family of God, or you do not know where it appears, or that it is presented using words, then you're not in a position to capitalize on anything that God's offering until you're part of the family of God. This is so interesting. Yosha is doing this the right way. He's saying that you need to be spiritually born, inheriting the benefits of the covenant. You need to understand and respond to the family of God before you can even talk about anything else, such as eternal life, such as salvation.
Yeah.
There is no salvation for anyone who isn't part of the family of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to come to know Yahweh, come to understand the covenant that he's offering, and respond to it, engage in it, before there is any discussion of salvation. That's what he's talking about here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've talked about this before. This, this family of God is the covenant, right? That is the only family of God. The only discussion God ever has about family is the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And how many covenants are there?
There can only be one. You can't change the deal.
And is there any other place on this earth where that covenant appears other than the first book of the Torah?
That's the only place. It's totally dismissed by all Christian writing.
And it appears in the first book of the Torah. And when you find it, you know, right after Yahweh talks about his role in creation, profoundly insightful, and Yahweh talks about life in the Garden of Eden, where he had this wonderful relationship with Adam and with Chawa, and how that really describes what is in store for Yahweh's children in the covenant going forward.
Yeah.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Right. And then he talks about protecting Noah and his family in the and an ark akin to the Ark of the Covenant, and to save Noah and his family. He turns immediately thereafter to the covenant, to his relationship with Abraham, and he devotes the majority of the rest of the book of Bereshit Genesis to the presentation of the covenant, to describe it as his family, as an inheritance, and goes on and on about here are the conditions to participate, and here are the benefits. That's where it appears, my friend.
It's totally ignored. You know, just a little bit of a side, Bereshit. Bereshit, mm-hmm. of course, is the mm-hmm. name of the first book of the Torah.
Right.
And if you broke down the six letters that make up Bereshit, and I broke all those down the other day, coincidentally.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of them are about be the home.
Right. Yeah. The only letter that is you're adding really to Rosh, the Hebrew letter for head that we're just talking about, is the ba for the preposition in.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's in the first family.
Look at all the six letters. You've got the household. You've got man. You've
right.
got the authority. You've got the nourishment as far as
right.
the spirits. You've got
the receipt. The sh sound is from the depiction of teeth, which was to convey nourishment and to convey the spoken word, the word here of God.
Then you say you're nourished by the word. You're more than what you
right,
eat.
Right,
what you eat. What you eat.
Right, yeah. Right, right.
Then you've
right.
got Yah's hand reaching down as
right.
the eye, and
right.
then you've got a T, which is the it's the pole, the
right.
upright pole,
right.
the means
the upright
to do
pillar,
it.
Right.
The
doorway to salvation, the upright pillar of the tabernacle of God's home, the upright pillar of the Passover doorway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if I may, it's a two mm-hmm. word is bara means to fatten or to increase or to fill. They think in terms of fattening the sheep or fattening the herd,
right.
or you know, increasing the family. And then Bereshit, of course, is the head or the top, a place in time. He's filling up his
right.
heaven and earth. My supposition here, he's filling up his heaven and earth with his family.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's a lot in one little word, and that's where it starts. I mean,
and that's the first word.
That's the first word.
Yeah, that's the first word. Yep. You can become part of the first and foremost family, the family of God, and be part of His home if you will be observant, if you will use your eyes and your ears to process the words, the language regarding this household of God, and respond, then you can be part of God's home, be part of His family, which is what Yosha is saying here. You know, you're endowed with the faculty of language, yet you do not know the household of God, what place it appears and becomes known.
And he wasn't an uneducated person. It wasn't like he had. He could
Say, and you know,
ignorant. I can't read and write. I can't. Yes, no, yes, you can.
Yes, you can. Nope. And so, before you can be saved, you've got to be part of Yahweh's family. And if you're not part of the covenant, and the only way you can be part of the covenant family is to understand who is the head of it, know who he is.
Uh-huh.
Most Christians don't even know his name, much less his nature, understand his nature. They have no clue as to what he wants. They're always asking for his will when he delineates his will. And he presents the terms and conditions for participating. If you don't turn there, which is that dreaded Torah for Christians, that the book they think was annulled, if you don't go there to the Torah and come to understand the covenant and participate in it, there is no salvation.
Yeah, where do you find the details?
Right.
Where do you find
it's
the
details? Impossible to engage in a relationship with God. It's impossible to be saved by God if you're not part of the covenant family. And if you're part of the covenant family, those two things are consequences, direct results of you becoming part of the covenant. Yeah, one leads to the other, and one precludes the other. So if you're not part of the covenant, you're precluded from engaging in a relationship with God. You're precluded from being saved by God. You're excluded from His home if you're not part of the covenant. And if you are part of the covenant, you're automatically vindicated. You're automatically eternal. You're automatically empowered and rich. You automatically inherit everything that's part of His kingdom. You are automatically saved. It's a direct result of the covenant. So he's giving you the answer here.
Yeah.
The answer is the covenant family.
So what did the rabbis think this was all about?
You know, the fact that we're translating this household of God into English.
Uh-huh.
So it was the Hebrew, I mean, the Greek word was underlies that translation for family. And he spoke to Nicodemus in Hebrew.
Yeah.
So you know what word he actually said here? We're talking about the family of God. That's not what he said. What did he say?
He would have said the covenant, wouldn't he?
Yeah. He either would have said Be'eth-el,
yeah.
Be'eth-el, the family of God, or he would have said Bereth-el, which is the covenant of God.
Yeah, I follow that. Yeah.
It's either one of the two, and they're amalgamated. They're the same word. Same basis, same root. So he's talking about the family and the covenant of God, where it appears and where it becomes known.
So what rabbi doesn't understand the story of Abraham?
Well, they all do. But, of course, their view of Abraham is presented through the oral law. And, of course, those are arguments on the Torah as opposed to the Torah. But they all know Abraham. They all know what Abraham means, merciful father, enriching father. And, you know, it is really interesting that Racham is to be merciful. Racham is to enrich.
Mm-hmm.
And so the most direct definition of Ab, Ab is a Hebrew word for father. It's the first word in every Hebrew lexicon. It's a combination of the Aleph and the Be'eth.
Uh-huh.
In fact, could you define the Hebrew word father using the characters which were used to depict it?
Well, sure. The A is the Aleph, which is a ram's head or could even be an ox head, but usually a ram's head, and it's the strength and power.
Mm-hmm.
God is usually used in God, and then the Be'eth is the family and the home.
Right. And so it is this family and home that is presented in and the opening book of the Torah. So God introduces himself to us and directs us so that we have guidance as to how to participate in the family and home of God, should we wish to. And they know that Abraham, being father, and then Raham can either be Raham meaning enriching, or Raham meaning merciful. But the enriching aspect of it is so important. When you inherit the kingdom of God, when you become a child of the covenant, when you're part of Yahweh's family, and you inherit all that he has to give, that would be considered enriching, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, inheriting something from a parent is enriching, and if that parent happens to be God Almighty, then it's extraordinarily enriching.
Extraordinarily.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, just being born of spirit, when you transition from physical to energy-based in spirit, it is it's an empowerment, according to Einstein's theory, which has been proven to be a fact, of the speed of light times the speed of light.
Yeah,
you become like light.
Number.
Yeah.
Oh, it's really big number.
It's a really big number. And we're enriched in this way. So it is, Yahweh enriches his children. He empowers his children. And, of course, he is merciful to his children, which is what Abraham made. It's the story of the covenant. To Shattering Myths. Kirk, this next line here is profound, and I want to just talk about the procedure that we're using here. Okay, you are endowed with the faculty to hear the voice and process language, and yet you do not know the household of God, the covenant of God, what place the covenant appears and becomes known, and where he's going. In this manner, he who is to have eternal life, each and every one is born and delivered by the Spirit. In this way. In what way? How are you born by the Spirit? In what way?
You're adopted in the Quorum.
Yeah, by participating in the covenant, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the covenant only appears in the Torah, right?
Right.
So he's told you, if you want to be born spiritually into God's family, then you have to come to know the household of God, the covenant of God, and you need to use your ability to process language to go right to the place where it is presented and becomes known. So he's provided the entire answer on salvation right there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would like
not
to talk
about Graham's version.
No. Now, I would like to talk about style here. We haven't even gotten back to the place where we ended the program yesterday.
Yeah.
When Yahweh describes to us what food is good for us to eat and what food is less nourishing for us, does he speak of cud chewers?
Yeah, because they regurgitated and over. I think Larry came up with that the other day. One of the Friday shows, you were talking about that. I thought that was quite insightful. Yeah.
The more, because Yahweh's word is that which nourishes us. It's what that which is good for us. And when he was speaking of what animals are good for us to eat, he emphasizes those that digest things by chewing on them, digesting them, bringing them back up and chewing on them and digesting them and doing it over and over again, which is precisely what we're doing with this passage.
Yes.
We're going over the material, and each time we go over it, we glean something that's nourishing from it that we didn't cover the previous time.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly how we learn. Now, I can't speak to everybody in the audience, and some people say, we've been over this before, come on, let's move on, let's get through this statement. But I know that by you and I having gone over this now to this point, now I think it's five times, either four or five times, that each time I've learned something new that we've shared together.
It hadn't been boring.
No.
Not to me.
No, I mean, to me it is so exciting when you see Yahusha get right to the fundamentals. And provide every answer that you really need, and how everything that he has to say is consistent with that which we've learned from the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. and how systematically Yosha destroys the religion of Christianity, while at the same time pointing all who will listen to him directly to the Torah. So if you were listening to what he had to say, could you be a Christian?
No.
No, in fact, you would be Torah observant, wouldn't you? You'd be part of the covenant, which means you would not be a Christian. Anyone who claims to listen to Yosha, the Christian Jesus Christ, will cease to be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be Torah observant.
Isn't that ironic? I mean,
I know.
You listen to the Messiah. You know, you can't be a follower of Christianity, which is supposedly the following of the Messiah.
No, because the Christian religion was conceived by Paul. And what in this very discussion, Yosha says, you know, he would not trust men to convey his testimony.
That was rather profound, I thought.
Oh, goodness. And there's only one man that claimed to speak on his own initiative.
Uh-huh.
Paul.
Yeah.
Oh, it is so clear. It's so exciting, so powerful. It's so Yahweh. I mean, every bit of this, once you come to know him, once you come to understand who he is and what he's offering and how he has communicated to us so that we can come to know him and engage in this relationship with him, everything, he says, fits together like the most beautiful jigsaw puzzle ever conceived.
That's my take on it. I mean, it doesn't matter where you go.
Right.
Really
right down to the jots and the tittles. And that's the thing that I think is so valuable that you're bringing to this as an artist, the visualization of how the pieces of this puzzle are really the yods, the jots, and the tittles, which are the strokes that comprise these Hebrew letters that draw pictures of what the words themselves mean.
You find it there.
It's all right there, right in those strokes, those pictures, the very autograph of the Creator God of the universe, where he can be visualized, known, where you can engage in his family and receive all of the benefits. We'll be back tomorrow.